This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأولين والآخرين وفي كل وقت وحين we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses this gathering and that He accepts from us and that He forgives us for our sins بإذن الله تعالى. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, what I wanted to begin tonight with is a authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is actually a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is in this hadith. And you know, my brothers and sisters, every dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was filled with so much humility and so much humbleness. Every dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was as such. But this dua is unique in the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is some serious humility and some serious humbleness filled in this dua. And wallahi, personally, I have never come across a hadith or a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is filled with so much begging and so much humility and so much humbleness like the one I'm about to share with you right now. And it'll be like the introduction for the topic. He begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one thing. Listen to how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Allah for this one thing. So he begins at the beginning of this dua. He says, Allahumma inni abduka wa abnu abdika wa abnu amatik. He says, oh Allah, I'm your slave, the son of your slave, the son of your female slave. That's the beginning. Yani it is as though someone is smothering his face in the dirt. And it is as though someone is holding onto the curtains of the Kaaba and just screaming. And he's saying, Allahumma inni abduk. Oh Allah, I am your slave. And all my generation have enslaved themselves to you. And not just me, my whole entire generation. And my offspring and all of them are slaves and enslaved themselves to you. And I have never tasted freedom. I am an abd. All I know is slavery to you. And I'm the most humbled of creation before you. I'm in full submission and I am full obedience of you. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beginning a dua. Yani, subhanallah, it's as though he's saying, I'm a slave in all cases. All whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're living, whether you're dead, whether you're obedient to Allah, whether you're not obedient to Allah, you're a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you're in good condition or otherwise, yourself and your wealth and your property and everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're the slave of Allah. Allahumma inni abduka wa abnu abdika wa abnu abatik. He continues his dua and he says, Nasiyati biyadik. My forelock is in your hand. Yani, in other words, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, you have total control over me. And I don't even own myself. I don't even control myself. You have total control of me. What are these words? Look how much humility and how much humbleness is filled in these words. Maldin fiya hukmuk, adlun fiya qada'uk. He says that you can judge me the way you want. Maldin fiya hukmuk, judge me the way you want. And the way you judge me is going to be fair, and it's going to be upright, and it's going to be just. I'm not going to complain. عَدْلٌ فِيَّ قَضَاءٌ. Whatever you judge, and whatever you pass over as a judgment over me, I'm not going to complain, because you're always fair and just and upright in your judgments. All this humility, what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want from Allah? Yani request, ask, what do you want? So he says, أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ. I ask you by each and every single name of yours. As'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak. And every single name that belongs to Allah, that Allah Azza wa Jal called Himself with. Yani in other words, He's saying, Ya Alim, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Alim, Ya Qadir, Ya Subbuh. The entire names of Allah are being mentioned in this one phrase. What's the request of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Look at the introduction of this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak, sammayta bihi nafsak. I ask you with each and every single name of yours that you called and named yourself with. Aw anzaltahu fi kitabik. And I ask you by the name of yours that you sent down in your book. أو علمته أحدا من خلقك. Or I ask you as well, يعني by your name that you taught some of your creation. أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك. And I ask you by each name of yours that you kept hidden, that we didn't even know about. يعني in other words, in the second half of this hadith, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is asking Allah through all his names, the names that he knows and the names he doesn't know about. Look, subhanAllah, an entire beginning and an introduction of a hadith and a dua, and he still hasn't even got to his request, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what do you want? What is it that you want? What is it that you ask and request? This is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's full submission and humility and humbleness and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this one thing. What is that thing? He says, أن تجعل القرآن الكريم ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب غمي. Ya Allah, at the end now he gives his request and his ask. What is it? He says, make the Quran the spring of my heart, the delight and the happiness and the joy of my heart, and the light of my chest, nura sadri, wa jala'a huzni, and the remover of my sadness, and the complete abolisher of my worries. Yani, subhanallah, the entire hadith was about the Quran. That's it. The whole dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about this Quran, but this Quran being in the heart. That's what the dua was. This Quran being in the heart. فَأَن تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعَ قَلْبِي. Make the Quran the rabi' of my heart. What does this rabi'a qalbi mean? Well, ulama rahimahum Allah, they gave it two meanings. And understand how powerful this is. They said that the word rabi' it comes from يعني الربع, which is basically الجدول المائي. يعني what is that? The passages of water that flow. The passages of water that flow, and as a result, it irrigates the land. That's al-jadwal al-ma'i. So in other words, اجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي. Make the Qur'an the water, and make the Qur'an water, and give life to my heart. This is what he's asking. اجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي. Well, also, ربيع, it comes from the word ربع يتربع. And rabba'a yatarabba'u basically means like that, when you sit folding your legs. And you know, when you're folding your legs and you're sitting, what does that imply? It implies stability. And it implies firmness. And it implies يعني settlement. That's it. One has sat in a position, he's going to sit there for a long time. In other words, اجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي means, oh Allah, make the Qur'an stable and firm in my heart. Keep it there and always leave it there until I meet you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this Qur'an, my brothers and sisters, if it was in the heart, it'll cleanse it, it'll purify this heart from the dirt that is inside. It'll fill the chest with light, and it'll fill the chest with guidance, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. This is the Qur'an that if it was to enter the hearts, then all the worries and the stress and the fear and the depression and the anxiety will be completely abolished, and the only thing that would remain in the heart is the pure fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is requested from each and every single person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying in this dua, yani basically what he's teaching us at the end is that if the Quran was to enter the heart, تَجْعَلِ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعَ قَلْبِي. If the Qur'an was to enter the heart, then it'll change your life, and it'll change your world, and it'll rectify your manners and your situation. Al-Qur'an, my brothers and sisters. And this is why at the end of this hadith, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, or the Sahaba around him, they heard him say this. فَذَيْ سِتْتِهِمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نَتَعَلَّمَ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَاتِ. Should we learn these words? Should we memorize this dua? فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, أجل. Of course, learn these words, learn this dua. And he says, يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ سَمِعَهُنْ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَهُنْ. It is incumbent over every single person and upon every single person that hears them to learn them and to use them in his dua when he begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open his heart for the Qur'an. For this is the very first dua that I wanted to begin with tonight. And so this opens up the topic, which is about this noble Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in his own Qur'an. He says, هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ, that this book is a guidance for mankind. And this month of the Qur'an is about to approach. Very important from now that we understand its significance and what it means and what kind of relationships we're supposed to have with the Qur'an. Relationships we're supposed supposed to have with the Qur'an, so that when the month arrives and when it comes, you make the most of it and you take advantage from now that you prepare to develop those relationships with the Qur'an as the first day of Ramadan, as the first day of Ramadan begins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes this Qur'an, my brothers, as a ruh, a living soul. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Allah Azza wa Jal described it as a ruh, as a living soul, that which gives life to a dead body and to a dead heart. Yani, subhanallah. For we need to understand, my brothers and sisters, at the beginning, that the problem of these people, of the problem of the people in this life, whether it's depression or worries or shayateen have entered their lives, or whether it's magic has entered their life, or whatever it is of a problem that has entered their life, we need to understand that all the problems in our life, not only that, add to it all the problems and the punishment that one will face in his grave, and add on top of that all the worries and the punishment and the pain and the difficulty and the stress that the person will experience on the Day of Judgment is a result of him neglecting the Qur'an and staying away from the Qur'an and not having a relationship with the Qur'an. And this is, it's not just a principle that we just mention and go by. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in the Qur'an more than once. And I'm going to give you examples. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in Surah Az-Zukhruf, He says, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ. Listen, so you can understand where the problems come, where do they start from. He said, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ. Anyone who neglects the word of Allah, ذِكْرُ الرَّحْمَنِ, here, Al-Qur'an, anyone who neglects it, anyone who keeps it behind his back, anyone who turns away from it, yani this could be a Muslim, it could be a non-Muslim, it could be anyone. Anyone who thought himself too high from the Qur'an could be the Muslim. The one that we say to him, read the Qur'an, ya akhi, it's got your solution for every problem. He says, I know, but give me something else. That same person is وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ. The one who decides not to hold on to this Qur'an, if you did not hold on to that, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينَ. نُقَيِّضْ, we're going to appoint a shaytan for him. And that shaytan is going to be لَهُ قَرِينَ, is going to be his best friend. نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينَ. He becomes his best friend. Then you need to understand, my brothers and sisters, there are two paths. Either the path of ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَان, the path of the Qur'an, and you choose to hold on to that for life, and you have a daily relationship with this Qur'an. And if not, the only other path that exists is the path of the shaytan, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in this ayah. If you abandon and neglect this and had it behind your back and gave it no importance and significance in your life, didn't bother to read, didn't bother to memorize, you did not bother to ponder over it, you did not bother to learn how to read so you can start to read this Qur'an, then that means you abandoned, you neglected what Allah Azza wa Jal says in the other part, and we're going to appoint a shaytan for him, فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينَ, and that shaytan will be his best friend. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ, and that shaytan would keep misguiding him and diverting him from the correct path. And you know where the big worrying part is? This is the worrying part. وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, and those same people would assume they're guided. And they would have this feeling that now we're on the right path, we're walking correctly, and this is the worst disaster and calamity that could ever happen to anyone. He's misguided, and he reckons and he assumes that he's guided. How does he do that? Abandon the Qur'an, and that is exactly what the result is. That's an ayah in the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jal says. You know, my brothers and sisters, we know the ayah, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ. Everyone's heard this ayah, very, very familiar with this ayah, an ayah that يعني الراقي, the one who recites Qur'an and the one who's sick from يعني magic or hasad or whatever it is, they recite this ayah. طيب. But what, before you read this ayah, you need to look at the ayah before it to understand what happened. Why did this person become surrounded by shayateen? Read the ayah before. Look at the ayah before. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, ولما جاءهم كتاب من عند الله مصدق لما معهم نبذ فريق من الذين أوتوا الكتاب كتاب الله وراء ظهورهم كأنهم لا يعلمون. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about a nation that were given a book. We gave them this Quran, we gave them this book that was affirming the truths that were in the books before. Okay, so this book was given to them. You know what they did to it? Instead of taking this book and holding on to it and reading and developing some relationship with it and understanding what Allah wants from us. What did they do? Allah says, نَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. They threw it behind their back. In other words, they neglected it. They left it on the shelf where it is for that entire month or for that entire year, and they did not resort and turn back to it in their problems and in their situations and affairs in where they needed and were required guidance. They left it. نَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. You know what happened after this? If you did not follow the Qur'an, and if you did not take by the Qur'an, what is the other path that remains open? وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ. يعني the first thing they did, نَبَذَا, threw it behind their back. The second thing that came, اتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ. Now they followed the path of the shaitan, and the shaitan took them. The shaitan led them. He became their imam, and they were misguided, and they have no idea about it. They will come running, and they will say, Anna, my problem is full, my life is full of problems, full of worries, full of difficulties. Help me. Help me, Bahiz, your help is here. No one would be able to help you and relieve you from your situation other than developing a relationship with this Qur'an. I'll tell you later on what kind of relationships we're supposed to have with this Qur'an. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the story in the Qur'an in Surah Al-A'raf of a man known, his name was Bal'am ibn Ba'ura. This man was a scholar of Bani Israel, Bal'am ibn Ba'ura. This is just so you can understand what happened. Bal'am ibn Ba'ura was a scholar of Bani Israel. And he was very far away from where Musa alayhi salam was. So in other words, he had followers with him. Musa alayhi salam is very far away from him. As soon as Musa alayhi salam began to approach this town, the followers of Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, they feared the worst, that Musa alayhi salam would come and he'll take over, and he'll become the leader, and we all have to become followers of his. So the people of Bal'am, they rushed to their leader Bal'am, and they said to him, Ya Bal'am, listen, you're a righteous man, you're a noble man, and your dua is accepted. And that was known about him. He would go up to the mountain, any dua he would make would be accepted. For they said to him, listen, can you make a dua against Musa and his people, that they don't come and they invade our space? He said to them, what do you mean? I make a dua against the Prophet of Allah. They said, yes, do it, and we'll give you this, and we'll give you money and position and woman, and we'll give you whatever you want of this dunya. He said, I can't do that. For they went to him once, twice, three, four, five times. Eventually, they persuaded him. And he said, all right, khalas, you give me what I want from this worldly life, and I'll make a dua against Musa alayhi salam. So he goes up to the mountain where his dua was accepted. And he begins to make dua against Musa alayhi salam. He was a scholar. Allah Azza wa Jal describes him in the Quran. آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. We gave him our ayat. We gave him knowledge. He had the knowledge of this book. Look what happened to him. He went up to the mountain and he made a dua against Musa and his people. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to punish him from there. Every dua he made against Musa and his nation, Allah Azza wa Jal would turn that dua against him and his people. And every dua he made for himself and his people, Allah would make it a dua for Musa alayhi salam and his people. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentions his story in the Quran. And he says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. We're coming to the point. Give them, Allah Azza wa Jal says to Rasulullah, teach your people the story and relate to them, narrate unto them the story of the one, يعني هذا بلعام, the one who we gave him our ayat. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. He was skinned from this knowledge. He was skinned in salakh. يعني you know it, when you skin someone, there's pain. There's difficulty, there's hardship in that. Yani it was painful for him that Allah removed him from his knowledge. And he had forgotten it all. And Allah removed it all from him. The knowledge of the book was stripped from him. You know what happened after that? In salakha minha, فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. أَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. الشَّيْطَانُ followed him. He became an imam for the shaitan. Yani the point is, there is only two paths in life. You either hold on to dhikrullah, you either hold on to the book of Allah and you begin to develop your relationship with the Quran. It begins from you just opening and reading every day a page or two. That's where it begins. That's minimal. We're speaking about those. But if you don't do that, the only other option you had for yourself was طريق الشيطان, the path of the shaytan. In so many ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us of this reality. My brothers and sisters, يعني والله, one, unfortunately, he realizes that the one thing that led to all our issues, and the one thing that led to our youth being astray outside, and the one thing that even made the religious brothers and sisters not being able to remain firm on their deen. You know, people come into the deen strong, and they come firm. وما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. And then what happens? A month, let's say a year, let's say 5 years later, what happens? You find him shaking. He's not there in the masjid anymore. You don't find him anywhere. You know what? Unfortunately, one realizes that the one problem that led to all this was the abandonment and the neglecting of the Qur'an. Nothing of the Qur'an when in his life. Nothing. From the very beginning until the very end. How much Qur'an did you memorize? How much Qur'an did you memorize since the day you walked in this masjid? How many times did you read it from cover to cover? How many hours did you put at least trying to read? You find, walil asaf, unfortunately, the answer is nothing. Or minimal. Or it's even too insignificant to mention. Or the person himself is too embarrassed to even talk about. And then you come, and this is the problem. The problem is that there's no more of this path. The only other path that remained open was the path of the shaytan. My brothers and sisters, yani, our problem is that we don't realize, hey, this is our problem. We don't realize that opening this book, the difference between opening this book and between closing this book is the difference between the paradise and the fire. Hey, this is our problem. We don't realize that. We don't understand that the difference between opening this book and developing that relationship with this book and not is the difference between the paradise and the hellfire. Yani, opening this Quran, my brothers and sisters, is not just about every letter, and you get rewarded 10 hasanat. It's not just about that. It's about, if you don't open it, there's seriousness in this. There's something involved of a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the proof for this? Yani, my brothers and sisters, this book, wallahi, it could either take us to the paradise, and what's in it is enough to take it to al-firdaws al-a'la min al-jannah, or this same book could take you to jahannam. Hey, there's a proof for this. Who can get me the proof in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in where he teaches us that this book could be a reason for why you enter the paradise, or it could be a reason for why you're thrown in Jahannam? Wal'iyadhu billah. Where's the dalil? From the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone know? Anyone? Fadhal.
You were told to read and...
That's yani, from the consequences. But what is the dalil, the absolute proof? Allahu Akbar. Al-Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةً لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ, that the Qur'an is either a witness for you or either a witness against you. For this Qur'an, my brothers, the reality is that it could take one to the paradise, and the same book could throw him into the lowest pits of the fire. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. For my brothers and sisters, we need to understand that the matter is serious. The matter is serious. It's no joke. And this is why some of the most serious ayat in the Quran and some of the most serious ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam uttered and spoke about were ahadith and ayat in regards to the one who neglects the Quran and the one who abandons the Quran and the one who doesn't even bother looking into this Quran and what kind of relationship he's supposed to fulfill with this Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal, yani in Surah Taha, towards the conclusion of Surah Taha, he says, "Man a'rada anhu fa innahu yahmilu yawm al-qiyamati wizra." An ayah, a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to everyone and anyone who neglects this Quran. Subhanallah, the one who, yani, he comes, this man araban is the one who comes. He comes to you with a problem. He complains about a problem. Ya akhi, I have 1, 2, 3 in my life. You say to him, akhi, a solution is in here. Yeah, I know, but give me something else. This is man araban. This is man araban. فَإِنَّهُ يَحْمِلُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وِزْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about such a person that on the day of judgment, he'll carry a sin. Carry a sin. You know why? Then in this Quran, you are supposed to carry this book. If you did not carry it in this life, you carry a sin on the day of judgment. It's up to you. You're going to have to carry something. Either carry this book in this life, or you carry a sin wizran on the day of judgment. The ayat go on until Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَنَحْشُرُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ زُرْقًا. And we will gather the mujrimeen, the criminals. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the one who neglected and abandoned the Quran. He referred to him as a mujrim, as a criminal. Subhanallah. This is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His own word. Tayyib al hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very serious hadith that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns the one who neglects from the Quran. And I want you to understand and listen to this hadith. Hadha al hadith is in Sahih al Bukhari. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, taba'an, the hadith is very long, in where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he slept, and then in his dream two angels came and they took him, and he's seen the different forms of the punishment in the fire. He's seen the different forms of punishment. Until he came across a person that is in his grave, a person, and an angel is carrying a huge boulder on top of his head, and then he throws it, when yathliju ra'sahu. His head would crush into millions of pieces, the guy, the person. And this boulder would roll, it would roll. And then the angel would go and he would pick it up again. And by the time he comes back to stand at the head of this person down there, his head would have come back into shape. And once again, he throws it, crushing his head into millions of pieces. And then the boulder would roll and he would follow it. And his situation was like this until the day of judgment. For then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the dream, he said to the angels, who is this? Who is this person being punished? They said to him, "Intaliq, let's go, let's go." And they went, and the hadith is long. Anyway, after this, they sat with him and they said to him, "Let's explain to you one by one the people that you saw being punished, and let's explain to you who that person was." When it came to this person, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Amma alladhi yuthlaghu ra'suhu bil hajar." As for the one who you seen the boulder coming on top of his head and being smashed right on his head, and it was continuous like that until the day of judgment, who was it? Does anyone know? Al hadith. Now,
he
is the Laila. There's something else.
Fajr.
Listen. Huh? Al Fajr, Tayyib. This is half the narration. Ahsan, there it is. Two things in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam he mentions. He says, فَإِنَّهُ يَأْخُذُ الْقُرْآنَ فَيَرْفُضُهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْخُذُ الْقُرْآنَ. يعني he takes by the Qur'an. يعني he knew this Qur'an. And he understood the importance of this Qur'an. And he was a Muslim. And he said, آمَنْتُ بِكَلَامِ اللَّهِ. I believe in the word of Allah. And he knew it was the problem for all his solution for all his problems. He knew everything about it. He knew everything. And he knew how much Allah Azza wa Jal would be happy and pleased with him if he read it. يَأْخُذُ الْقُرْآنَ. But then what does he do? فَيَرْفُضُهُ. He puts it and he turns his back away and he keeps walking. He neglects, he abandons. They can tell you, you knew so much about the Qur'an and you knew its significance. Why didn't you turn to it? Why didn't you implement that which you knew? For that was his punishment in the grave. Listen, the next half of the narration says, وَيَنَامُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. And he sleeps during the time of the obligatory prayers. He sleeps. He doesn't wake up for the obligatory prayers. Yani huwa subhanallah. You know what you conclude from the hadith? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put these two in one rank. The one who does not pray, the one who neglects his salat, and the one who neglects the Quran, they're exactly the same in their punishment in the grave. Yeah, he says, you know the seriousness of the one who neglects the salah. You know the seriousness of it. This is why you'll force yourself to pray. And you'd get up. Even if you can't taste the sweetness of the salah, you'll get up and you'll pray. Lanu, we know the seriousness of abandoning the salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in the hadith that neglecting the salah is a crime just as bad as neglecting the Quran. For if you are a person that forces yourself to pray because of the seriousness of abandoning the salat, then your attitude towards the Quran is supposed to be the very same. Your attitude towards the Quran is supposed to be the same attitude you have with the salat. يعني انت sometimes people يعني يقول لك انه والله look يعني we have to pray, and they really bottom line in his heart, he might not be eager to pray. He doesn't have that zeal and that motivation and the encouragement to get up and pray. الصلاة في جماعة المكتوبة ما شاء الله. He doesn't have that, but at least he prays. Your relationship with the Qur'an is supposed to be like that. For the minimal, even if you did not taste anything from this Qur'an, even if the only thing you got from this Qur'an was a sore throat and a dry mouth. Read. ما هو الله سبحانه وتعالى wants from you to read. فإذا قرأت القرآن فاستعذ بالله. Allah عز وجل, he says, when you read the Qur'an, سيعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You know, yeah, he said, when you read. He did not say, if you read the Quran, say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Not when you read. The topic is not about if I'm going to read, if I'm not going to read. It's about either when. When are you going to start reading? When are you going to start picking this Quran and reading? As we're coming close to Ramadan, my brothers and sisters, you're supposed to have that eagerness and that zeal to open up this Quran and start reading. My brothers and sisters, what are our relationships with this Quran? What are our relationships? What are the relationships you and I are supposed to have with this Quran? وبإذن الله, this is what's going to conclude our talk, but I really want you to listen because this is where the practical stuff is. These are, as we call it, التوصيات. These are the advice that I give myself, you and I, بإذن الله تعالى, from tonight, that we develop these five relationships with the Qur'an that العلماء رحمهم الله spoke about, and they derived them from an ayah in the Qur'an. So this is exactly what is wanted from you and I when it comes in our relationship with this Qur'an. And as we said, we're about to come, we're very close to the month of the Qur'an, to the month of Ramadan. So bismillah, bi'ithnillah, begin to prepare from now. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Furqan. So all this is derived from this ayah. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes on the day of judgment and he complains from one thing. Bas, one thing. He's got one complaint that is recorded in the Qur'an. What's this Qur'an, this complaint? He says, يَا رَبِّ, my Lord, إِنَّ قَوْمِ, these are my people, اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ. شوف, اتَّخَذُوا, they took this Qur'an. يعني the word اتخذوا, Allah did not say إن قومي هجروا هذا القرآن. He says اتخذوا هذا القرآن. This word اتخذوا, meaning they understood what this Qur'an was in their life. They understood how important it was. And they understood that this is the same book that gave birth and gave rise to Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, Umar رضي الله عنه, Uthman وعلي. This is the same book they went back to. Anyway, اتخذوا هذا القرآن, they took this Quran, مهجورا, they neglected it, they abandoned it. مهجور from هجر, يعني مثل الهجرة. You know هجرة, what's هجرة? When one migrates from one country to another. You see, the idea of migration is that, يعني, يلا, السلام عليكم, I'm going, I'm leaving, does anyone want anything? Bismillah, you pack up everything and you go. The people packed up their luggage from the Qur'an. They did hijrah from the Qur'an. They're so far away from it. اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. فابن القيم رحمه الله, he says that the people, the way they neglected the Qur'an was in five ways. And these are the five relationships we're supposed to have with the Qur'an. Number one, he said, هجروا قراءته, they neglected its recitation. Well, this is the first relationship you and I are supposed to have with the Qur'an. That on a daily basis we recite this Qur'an. He said they abandoned, they neglected it in terms of opening this Qur'an and reciting. To whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll just give you a worse situation of what Allah says in the Qur'an. He says, علم, listen, علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فقرأوا ما تيسر منه. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says that he knew some of you will be sick and some of you will be travelers and some of you would be fi jihadin fi sabilillah. All these are very difficult situations. If you saw someone that is sick, someone on the hospital bed and he can't even move, very, very sick, حتى he needs the help of the nurse to move him left and right. You might look at this person and say, Wallah, this person, Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't want a lot of worship from him. He's sick, and he's excused from a lot of things. He doesn't have to stand up to pray. He can pray while he's seated, right? He doesn't have to fast. He's sick. So many of the obligations and so many of the worships would drop in the case of this person because he's sick. Like also the traveler. The traveler, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, I knew some of you will be sick. I knew some of you will travel. And also the traveler has concessions that he takes by. So his salat is shortened and he doesn't have to fast. And so many other ahkam for him. He can keep his يعني, footwear on for 3 days and wipe because of the difficulty. طيب. And the third one, وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُجَاهِدْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ is also in difficulty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very easy on him and gives him salat al-khawf. There's a special prayer that he prays when he's يعني, on the battlefield. And there are certain principles. But at the end of the day, all these three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduces from them some things in the deen. He reduces it for them because of the difficulty they're in. And you know, subhanallah, you might think that this person in that situation, what about his relationship with the Qur'an? Does he have anything with it? Allah Azza wa Jal, the only thing he mentioned in the Qur'an, in this ayah, he says, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ Read what you can read from it. يعني, even if you're sick, reading and opening this Qur'an doesn't drop in any case. It doesn't drop. If you're sick, you can't read it all. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ Read whatever you can read from it. Read something from it. But don't leave it. Don't put it on the side. يعني, if this is the case for a sick person, for a traveler, for a mujahid fi sabilillah, then enter you and I. Not in that three cases. Or we're sitting, alhamdulillah, and each one of us has a beautiful print of the Qur'an that is so يعني, neatly printed and typed and written. Oh, this is calligraphy, it's not. Where you can see it and read, oh, mashallah, classes left and right of you. In every masjid there's classes, people teaching how to recite the word of Allah. Well, you're still not taking this advantage and you're still not taking this opportunity. But then how much يعني, in relation to this ayah is the embarrassment for yourself? You see, the sick person is being told by Allah, read something from it. Then you're not, alhamdulillah, in your complete health, and you don't even come near this Qur'an. For the first way in how you develop your relationship with the Qur'an is read from this Qur'an. Open and read. Have a program for yourself, a set program for yourself. The first word that was revealed from the Qur'an was, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. The first commandment of this deen was read. Why, that's the first thing that you are commanded with. It's supposed to stay with you for life. Because just before the believers enter the paradise, Allah says to them, اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا. The recitation of the Qur'an doesn't finish. You recite Qur'an in this life, and you're going to recite it in the paradise. This is the only book that remains to be recited. Read whatever book you want in this life, and read whatever article you want, or read your Facebook and scroll through the news and read whatever you want. But at the end of the day, all of it will be destroyed. The only one book that remains on the Day of Judgment to be recited is this book. Like if you never knew how to recite this, what an embarrassment. That on the Day of Judgment, it's told, Iqra, read. And Ya Rabbi, I used to read everything except this book. And then you come and you realize the shame, and you realize the embarrassment, and you realize the problem that you put yourself in. Begin to read. That's the first relationship you develop. We'll have a habit. Have a habit. Start something. Read. Inshallah, it's half a page. The idea in Ramadan is not to read the whole Quran once. And read it 5 times and 7 times and 10 times. That's not the idea. The idea is read something. Read something of the Qur'an, but stay continuous. Continuous on your recitation. If you choose to read half a page of the Qur'an every day, stay like that until the day you die. Until the day you die. Quarter of a page, stay on a quarter of a page. 1 page, 2 pages, stay on it. But don't change it, right? For this is the idea. That's the first way the people, يعني, they did hajr of the Qur'an. They neglected the Qur'an in terms of they did not recite this Qur'an. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, the second relationship you're supposed to have with this Qur'an is that you listen to this Qur'an. The people abandon the Qur'an in terms of not listening to this Qur'an. Who are listening to the Qur'an is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's not all about you reading. You have to listen to the Qur'an as well. There's the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in which Rasulullah goes to him and he says to him, Ibn Mas'ud, iqra' alay, read some Quran on me. For Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is shocked. He says to him, كيف أقرأ عليك وعليك أنزل? How do I read Quran on you when it is you who received this Quran? How do I read it on you? He says, اقرأ فإني أحب إني أشتهي أن أسمعه من غيري. He says, read, I desire. Look at the word, أشتهي, I desire to listen to it from other than me. فابن مسعود رضي الله عنه begins to recite سورة النساء until he reaches قوله تعالى فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. An ayah that affected Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. It moved his heart. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to him, yani he's describing to him the reality of the Day of Judgment. How is it going to be? And what's the affair and the situation going to be on the Day of Judgment when we bring all these nations and we bring you as a witness upon your own nation? For he began, Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, Hasbuk, stop. And I looked at him, فَإِذَا عَيْنَاهُ تَذْرِفَانَ. Then I seen him and he was tearing. فَيَعْنِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. It is a sunnah to listen to the recitation of the Qur'an. Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that the one who listens to the Qur'an earns the same reward as the one who reads the Qur'an. For every hasanah, for every letter, 10 hasanat. Well, that's true also for the one who listens to the Qur'an earns the same reward as the one who recites it. For either now we have two relationships with the Qur'an. Read and listen as well. On your way to work, coming back from work, يعني, even if you took the family مثلاً, out for a drive, and يعني, the purpose of the drive is to just listen to the word of Allah. Just to listen so that we're not included from those who abandon its listening. And put it on and drive and start listening, you and the whole family. Keep it in the house on. Listen, listen. Listening to the Qur'an is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, he tells us, listening to the Qur'an is a source of mercy. It'll bring you mercy in your life. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. When the Qur'an is being recited, listen, listen carefully to it. Why? وَأَنْصِتُوا and keep quiet, يعني listen attentively. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ so that you may attain al-rahmah, so that you may attain al-mercy. In other words, listening to the Qur'an brings the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life and mercy of Allah azza wa jal in your entire family, in entire household, in everything that you do, you'll see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, listening to the Qur'an, as the ulama rahimahumullah said, is more, يعني, you would be affected by listening the Qur'an more than listening to it, more than reading it. You're affected by the Qur'an, by listening to the Qur'an more than if you were to recite it. Well, sahih. The first proof of that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying when he's listening to the Qur'an from Ibn Mas'ud. So you're affected by the Qur'an more if you listen as opposed to reading. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Anfal, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. When the ayat of Allah are recited onto them, يعني what? It makes them the listeners. If the ayat of Allah are recited onto them and they're listening, as a result, what does it do? زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. It increases their iman. It increases the iman. فَإِذَا now our relationship, reading the Qur'an. Number two, listening to this Qur'an. Number three, Imam Ibn Qayyim رحمه الله mentions, هَجَرُوا التَّحَاكُمَ إِلَيْهِ. Yani they abandon it in terms of they don't go back to the Qur'an in their judgment. What does that mean? Yani that means, you know, how many people do we know? And how many people and how many situations you have been in life in where you were in need of serious guidance and advice? Like, did you run and rush back to the Qur'an to see what it says in your situation? If you did not do that, that is considered one-fifth of abandoning the Qur'an. One-fifth of abandoning the Qur'an. You had a problem with a business partner of yours and you're fighting over some issue. Why did you ever say, okay, wait, stop. Stop arguing. Let's go back to this Qur'an and see what its judgment between us is. You don't do that, you're considered from those who abandon the Qur'an. But at the end of the day, the solution is here. The solution is in here. The Qur'an, my brothers and sisters, is a divine book with worldly solutions. It's divine solutions for our worldly problems. Divine solutions for our worldly problems in this book. فإذا, this is what you have to do. Whether it's between husband and wife, whether it's between you and a business partner, whether it's between you and your brother, you and someone in the masjid, whatever it is, any issue, the way it's resolved properly is my going back to what the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam judge, and then you're supposed to take by it and implement it, and that will solve every problem that is on the face of the earth. Until we do that, we are considered يعني, one-fifth abandoning يعني, of this Quran. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, هَجَرُوا التَّدَاوِي بِهِ هَجَرُوا التَّدَاوِي بِهِ. They abandoned and they neglected in the Quran in terms of not seeking treatment by this Quran. Yani so far now, these are four relationships we're supposed to have. Read, listen. When you have a problem, go back to the teachings of this Quran. What decisions does it make and what does it rule between you and your problem? And the fourth one is, they abandoned it in terms of they do not seek its treatment, or they don't seek yani medicine by this Quran. Well, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal, when He describes this Quran, in the same Quran, in His word, He describes it as وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. In Surah Yunus, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, we reveal and we send down this from this Quran what is supposed to be a cure and medicine for what's in the chest, يعني the heart, and it's all diseases and sicknesses, and it's shahawat, its desires, temptations, and the problems and the disease of the heart. This is where your solution is here. فَإِذَا يعني subhanAllah, when one gets sick, how often do you rush to the Qur'an to seek a treatment from the Qur'an? يعني هو Qur'an is supposed to, at times in your life when you're sick, you're supposed to read it with the intention of cure. يعني intend in your heart. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yani in your heart you say that I'm reading today and my recitation bi-idhnillah is I'm seeking cure and I'm seeking istishfa. I'm seeking a medicine, a cure for my problem by this recitation of the Quran tonight, and read with that intention and see what happens. Read with that intention and see what happens. Now this is our fourth relationship with the Quran. And the last one that Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, this is an interesting one, and this is one we really need to understand. Really need to understand. There's a lot of confusion with it. He says, هَجَرُوا تَدَبُّرَهُ وَالتَّفَكُّرَ فِيهِ. He says they abandoned it in terms of that they neglected pondering and reflecting over this Quran. What does that mean? What does it mean to ponder and reflect over the Quran? Well, the confusion, my brothers and sisters, with this, is that a lot of people, they don't know. Pondering and reflecting, what is that? And who is that for? Yani, is that for the scholars? Is that for the ulama? Or is that for the general people? How am I going to ponder over the Quran if I'm not from those ulama? Masala. So yani, at the end of the day, the one who understands this incorrectly would assume that I'm from those who abandon the Quran because I haven't reached the level of the ulama in order to ponder and contemplate and reflect over the meanings of the Quran. That is wrong. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, there is a difference between something called tafsir al-Quran or tadabbur al-Quran. Difference. Tafsir al-Quran, the interpretation of the Quran, this is for the scholars. This is for the ulama. This is for the people in the field. Tafsir al-Quran. Tafsir, yani opening the Quran and reading وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ. What does it mean? وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ وَيَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ. The interpretation of it, this is for the ulama. This, you'll go back to أقوال الصحابة, you'll go back to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave of interpretation for the ayah. You'll go back, if Allah Azza wa Jal has interpreted the ayah, you'll go back to it. You'll go back to the tabi'een, to Salaf al-Salih, rahimahullah, to the ulama of that field. That's tafsir. But you and I must make tadabbur of the Quran, ponder. It's way different than tafsir. Let me tell you what it is. Yani, Allah Azza wa Jal, when He addresses the kuffar, al-kuffar, He says to them in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Allah wanted from the kafir to make tadabbur of the Quran. But the Muslim, like, how much more tadabbur is he supposed to do? Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, why didn't the kafir ponder over the Quran? Because had he pondered over the Quran, had he pondered and seen other than it, if it was other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, from other than Allah, he would have found a lot of contradictions inside of this Quran. But Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted tadabbur from the kafir. Now look at this. Another ayah. Allah addresses al-munafiqeen. Hypocrite. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. That's the next, second time it comes in the Quran. Why don't they ponder over the Quran? Or is it the fact that their heart is sealed and it's locked up? That ayah was for the munafiq. Allah Azza wa Jal wants from the munafiq to do tadabbur of the Qur'an. So what does it mean for you and I? How much more tadabbur are we supposed to do of the Qur'an and reflection? Now let me tell you, what does it mean to do tadabbur of the Qur'an? Yeah, let me give you an example. We're going to see with this inshaAllah ta'ala. Tadabbur of the Qur'an, my brothers and sisters, yani basically towards the end with one word summarizing it is implementing what you read. هذا تدبر القرآن. Let me give you an example. In Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, مثلا, this is an example يعني, to understand what it means to ponder. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Indeed, we gave Luqman al-hikmah. We gave him wisdom. Let me ask you, what is wisdom? أنا, يعني, my brothers, when I say to you wisdom, what's the first thing that comes up in your mind? Hamza, ايش الوزدم? Tafkir. He's saying wisdom means to ponder. What's wisdom?
Knowledge.
Guidance. Huh? Knowledge. What else? Yani, I know when I say wisdom, this man is full of wisdom. What's the first thing that comes in your mind?
Knowledge.
He's smart. Knowledge. Hikmah, wise. Wisdom.
Intelligent.
Intelligent. Mashallah. An old man. Masalah. Some people would say wisdom. Well, let's see what Allah says what wisdom is. In the same ayah, Allah would define what wisdom is. He says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنْ اِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Thank Allah. Be grateful to Allah. Meaning, anyone who is grateful to Allah has complete wisdom. Anyone who knows how to thank Allah and be grateful to Allah, he has complete wisdom. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says in the hadith, كَمَا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمْ. This is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْضَى عَنِ الْعَبْدِ أن يأكل الأكلة فيحمده عليها أو أن يشرب الشربة فيحمده عليها. Allah Azza wa Jal is so happy and he's so pleased and so content with the servant that eats, يعني puts food in his mouth and then after it he says Alhamdulillah and he drinks and says Alhamdulillah. يعني if you know how to say Alhamdulillah after you eat and drink, you have wisdom. That's what the ayah is saying. You have wisdom if you know how to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and earn the complete happiness and pleasure of Allah. Now, what does it mean to do tadabbur of the Qur'an? Look, أنا, this is what it means. Wallahu a'lam. But the ulama, rahimahumullah, explain this. Tomorrow, take this ayah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Take this ayah. And say for you to, between yourself, you and yourself, make an agreement with yourself that tomorrow, every single thing I'm going to eat, and anything I'm going to drink, I'm going to say Alhamdulillah after it. And don't forget, put it a reminder on your phone, whatever it is. Do anything you need to do, but don't forget to say Alhamdulillah after you eat and Alhamdulillah after you drink. Then at the end of the day, open up to Surah Luqman and read that ayah. Wallahi, your effect and your attachment to that ayah would be way different to that if you did not implement it. Reading an ayah and implementing it the entire day and then taking it as a habit and implementing it all your life. And then, let's say you came here tomorrow. وَقَدَّرَ اللَّهِ. You prayed. وَالْإِمَامُ recites, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Were you the whole day you've been living according to this ayah? How much more are you going to be affected by this ayah than if you were to never implement this ayah and just read it? إِذَنَ التَّدَبُّرْ. Pondering over the Qur'an is that when you read the ayah, you take an agreement with yourself that I'm going to implement this ayah as best as I can. Come at the end of the day and read it. Watch what's going to happen to you. Watch the kind of effect and attachment and personal attachment you're going to have with this ayah. Something unexplained. Then you implemented it. And all the ayat are like this. Every ayah, take an ayah, one by one. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says in the hadith, أصفر الناس من ليس في جوفه شيء من القرآن. أصفر, إيش يعني أصفر? What does أصفر mean? Yellow. يعني هل, لبس, yellow. أصفر here comes from the word صفر, zero. The one who's zero, the one who's a loser to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is it? مَنْ لَيْسَ فِي جَوْفِهِ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. The one who has nothing of the Qur'an inside of him. يعني, you know what that means? يعني, أنا, if I was to tell you, brother, what's the ayah you're living with today? I don't know. هذا أصفر الناس من ليس في جوفه شيء من القرآن. The entire day you have nothing in your heart, you can't recall anything, you don't have anything that you live towards today to implement of an ayah, nothing at all. إذا أصفر الناس. Yeah, be careful, my brothers and sisters. I say to you, Allah, from the very beginning, opening the Quran and closing it is not a choice that the believer has. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ. Those who we gave them the book, يَتْلُونَهُ, here meaning they continuously recite it. يَتْلُونَهُ because it's a present tense. يعني in other words, they continuously recite. وَيَتْلُونَهُ الْعُلَمَاءُ said, أَيْ يَتَدَبَّرُونَهُ. They ponder, meaning when you read it, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, they read it the way it's supposed to be recited. How do you read something the way it's supposed to be recited? By implementing it. Then he says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Ah, these are the people that believe in it. Even the one who doesn't recite it the way it's supposed to be recited, really doesn't believe in it. You can say as much as you want, you believe, you really don't believe in it. فَانْتَبَهِ, my brothers and sisters, be careful and be warned. Your relationship with this Qur'an is the strongest relationship you're ever going to have in this life. And it doesn't end the day you die. Your relationship with the Qur'an continues, even after your death. It comes in your grave and it helps you in your grave. And then when you come out from the grave, it's there in front of you, كَالرَّجُلِ الشَّاحِبِ. And then it walks you to the paradise. And then even in the paradise, it'll elevate you in the paradise ranks and ranks above the creation, according to how many ayat you used to know about of this Qur'an. Your relationship with the Qur'an will never end. It doesn't end the day you die. Every other relationship you have with the humans would end. Wallahu a'lam, if you're going to see them after that or not. Ya'ani, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to admit us all in Al-Firdaus and that we see each other in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la min Al-Jannah. But my brothers and sisters, the reality, that's not something guaranteed. We have husnul dhan billah, we have good thought in Allah that that's what will happen. That's not guaranteed. But your relationship with the Qur'an is something guaranteed. It's there with you. In this life, in your grave, when you come out, فالحشر والصراط الحساب with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the paradise, it's always there, it doesn't end. How could one afford to give his back to the Qur'an, especially when we're coming to this blessed month of Ramadan? My brothers and sisters, begin to prepare, train yourself from now, have a program in where you have these five things of the Qur'an. Have these five relationships with the Qur'an. وَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would eventually give you the ultimate, an ultimate of gifts, an ultimate of reward on the Day of Judgment, and that is what? What does the person want at the Day of Judgment? He wants al-firdaus al-a'la min al-jannah to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is given with your relationship with the Qur'an. Well, I'm going to conclude with this. What did we read today on the Friday? What's the surah that we read on Friday? Surah al-Kahf. Surah al-Kahf, my brothers and sisters, wallahi, from the very beginning, I mean from the very first word you read, it's teaching you what kind of relationship you're supposed to have with the Qur'an. You know that? Surah Al-Kahf. And you're reading it every week, yani every single week you are reminded what kind of relationship and attachment you're supposed to have with this Qur'an. Listen what Allah says. And the reward is mentioned. Listen. How does it begin? But what's the first word? Alhamdulillah. You see this phrase, Alhamdulillah, when do you say it? When someone is excited, when someone is happy, when someone's received good news, he says Alhamdulillah. Yani when your wife eventually, Alhamdulillah, she gave birth, and you see the child coming out, mashallah, yani his wife gave birth. He said Alhamdulillah when he first saw the child come out. Yani khalas, now we save ourselves from the headaches and the worries. Alhamdulillah, right? When you get that job promotion, Alhamdulillah. In this surah, what are you saying, Alhamdulillah? Yani the beginning of the surah, it's like someone screaming, Alhamdulillah. For what? الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابِ. Alhamdulillah for this book, that Allah sent down a book upon His servant. Alhamdulillah, that Allah gave us a Qur'an. Yani the very beginning of Surah Al-Kahf is teaching you that your relationship with the Qur'an is supposed to be, yani, and Alhamdulillah that Allah gave us this book. And without this book, how could I live? Without a relationship with this book, how can I continue in my righteousness? How can I continue in my firmness? How can I continue attending the lessons? And how will I be able to continue attending Salat al-Jama'ah fil Masjid without this Qur'an? Yep, Alhamdulillah with this book. And the one who had that kind of relationship with the Qur'an, what's the end of the surah? The end of the surah, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ
جنات الفردوس نزلا. يعني it's as though the one who showed complete happiness with the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal will make him happy on the day of judgment, that he will give him Jannat al-Firdaus. That he will give him Jannat al-Firdaus. That's the only other time al-Firdaus was mentioned in the Quran. And similar to it is Surah al-Furqan. Allah began Surah al-Furqan, Tabaraka alladhi nazzala al-Furqana ala abdih. You know the word Tabaraka. Tabaraka Allah. When do you say it? When you're amazed by something. When you're overtaken by something. Ma sha' Allah. When you're overwhelmed by something, you say, Tabarak Allah. The beginning of Surah Al-Furqan, Tabarak alladhi nazzala al-Furqana ala abdih. Same thing as Surah Al-Kahf. This person is shocked, he's amazed, he's overwhelmed. He's saying, Ma sha' Allah. For the Quran that we have, at the end of the surah, Ulaika yujzawna al-ghurfata bima sabaru. Such people are going to enjoy al-ghurfa. Al-ghurfa, يعني this is يعني one of the highest stations in the paradise. It is within Al-Firdaus. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have a relationship with the Qur'an, a very strong relationship with the Qur'an. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us from this Qur'an. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us tied to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, to accept our gathering, to forgive our sins. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu waliyu thalika wa qadiru alayhi wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.